Well, welcome everybody. Virtual networking and how to connect with people in the digital world. That's the topic of today's episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Saul, and hope everybody's doing really well today. Thursday afternoon, hope you're safe and busy. And I have a lovely guest by the name of Leanne Shelton here with me. How you doing, Leanne?
Hello, I'm going well.
And we're going to be chatting about, as I mentioned, virtual networking and this phenomenon that everybody is absolutely diving into right now at this time. So who is Leanne? Born and bred in Sydney, New South Wales, Leanne Shelton is a health and wellness content coach and copywriter. Through her business, Right Time Marketing, Leanne splits her time between outsourced content for some clients and teaching others how to do it yourself. This is achieved via online and face-to-face workshops, coaching sessions, and her podcast, Marketing and Me. So as I mentioned, Leanne, how are you doing?
Thanks, Darren. Yeah, I'm going pretty well. I hadn't actually done online workshops before COVID hit. It was something on my to-do list, and I'd pretty much, because I'd lined up to do all these face-to-face workshops this year, and that kind of, I think I did one of them and had two people arrive because it was right as things kind of blew up. And so I then, thought I'm going to change this to online and suddenly challenge myself to do the webinar. Well, I'm calling them, actually I call them virtual workshops because webinar, I think of the death by PowerPoint, one-sided type thing. But virtual workshops means I really want there to be engagement and let people, you know, ask questions and engage in the chat section and everything like that. So,
beautiful. And that's actually a really good point because when you do that via Zoom, you can use the Zoom webinar module or you can use the normal meeting module, and they're different, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I actually don't use the Zoom webinar module because I thought, well, it's like a little bit more expensive. But you know what? I've just found just the basic paid one has done the job. I've run four or five of these virtual workshops now, and they've been really good, especially because these particular ones, they're funded by the local council. Right. So the people who attend for free, and marketing is like a buzz thing at the moment because if you're work is quiet or you can't work, a lot of people are working on their business. And so it's something I love that I can offer it for free, that advice, but I can still have my time covered by the council. So it's really good.
And I totally agree. I mean, I always say marketing right now is super important because now's the time to build your brand so that when we come out of this, people know who you are and they come to you. If you wait for 3 months, you're going to be 3 months behind the ball. So it's got to be done now, and you've got to do it using online and digital form.
Exactly.
But before we get into that, maybe just tell us a bit about you. Who is Leanne and how you started getting into this kind of work?
So who am I? So on a personal level, I have been married for 11 and a half years. two young girls, 6.5 and 3.5. Nice. So among all of this, I've been doing the homeschooling for the eldest and youngest is in preschool, but we took her out of preschool as well. So it's been fun trying to do stuff with them, but have enjoyed the bonding time. It's this week, it's been the first week of school and preschool going back, which straight away has cleared up a bit of headspace for me. But outside of family, so I live in the Hills District in Sydney's northwest. I've lived here just 15 years or so. Before that, I actually grew up Sydney's southwest, so I moved to be where my husband grew up. And and I'm very involved with the local business networking groups, like local chamber, for example. I started my business 5.5 years ago. It was more of a side project initially. I did find a main client, or it was a part-time job. I was doing this on the side because I had my eldest was 9 months old and I wanted to have a bit more flexibility, and my old work didn't allow that. Nice. So I found an opportunity that would let me grow my marketing skills and then grow my business a bit on the side. And then about a couple of years ago, I thought, well, I want to do more, I want to run more workshops. a lot of copywriters are happy to be behind the computer screen, a lot of introverts, but I'm a bit more of an extrovert and I'm like, well, I love to teach and my dad's a retired teacher. So I think that kind of has come through. So yeah, I started running workshops as well as doing the writing stuff. I've always been a writer and knew it's what I wanted to do.
A bit of a wordsmith, are you?
Yes, yes. It's always like I still remember something I wrote in like year one or year two and I just got the punctuation 100% correct and I only just learned it that week. Like this is, but don't give me anything to do with maths or science. Like English is my thing. So I love the writing, but you know, my first couple of jobs out of uni, the first job was in sales because it's very hard to get into kind of journalistic jobs straight out of uni. So it was telesales and I initially hated it because I was doing cold calling, but then I moved to account management and then a bit of internal communications, which then moved to marketing and like marketing communications kind of turned into in different jobs. So I guess I do have that a benefit. Like I'm a copywriter, so I can handle briefs, but I do have that sales and marketing background. So I can kind of create that holistic perspective when people come to me. I can think of the psychology of the clients and what would actually work best. So all these skills kind of rolled into one, which is why I love giving that marketing advice and also writing it.
Awesome. Because I mean, that's the best combination to have. If you can understand marketing and how to read people and what makes people tick, but you also can write the copy, you're unstoppable.
Yeah, so I only realized maybe under a year ago that I really should be pushing that sales and marketing experience. I just thought, oh, that's just in the past. Now I'm a copywriter. But I was underestimating the importance of that background. And I guess this, you know, like I'm not very good at maintaining facts and figures. My brain just it goes in one ear out the other. But every time I've been to a workshop or some sort of training when it's been marketing related, I absorb it because I obviously enjoy it. Yeah. And so someone would ask me for advice and I just spit out this information and kind of surprise myself how much I knew. Like, wow, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. And so that's kind of where it sparked the idea to do workshops. I'm like, well, I do have this knowledge that I can help people. And then more recently I started doing like one-on-one content coaching. So for those who do want to have that really dedicated advice on from blogging, which is my specialty, website copy, social media posts, emails, and I can guide them. And if they want to do it themselves, go right ahead. Or I might just give them that enough guidance. They understand the importance of it and then hand it over to me to write. So it kind of gives people the option of how they want to take my advice and, outsource or DIY.
Well done. And so obviously today, I mean, in this period, everybody's jumping online. There's virtual networking meetings happening all the time. I'm jumping on them because I belong to a fantastic network called BX mm-hmm. and it's been amazing. Why is it so important to be virtual networking right now?
Well, for me personally, making the connections with people in person has been really important for my business because people meet me, you know, the whole know, like and trust formula. So they get to know me, then they want to work with me. But just having my website up there when there's so many other people who do copywriting, you just got to see one of those Facebook groups where someone asks for a copywriter, then bombarded with people. So it's a way to make sure that people get to know you and bond. And then, you know, they might meet you a couple of times at networking events and then, do business with you. Right. But right now, when you can't physically meet them, that element of your marketing strategy or my marketing strategy has just been taken out of the mix.
Absolutely.
So it kind of made me think, because one of my workshops was meant to be networking for beginners.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, well, I want to still run this session. Let's change it into virtual networking for beginners. Sure. And I basically just did a brainstorming session. I did very minimal research. This is all just in my head of all the different ways that you can be connected, either reach out to old connections or form new connections online.
Gotcha.
And all the marketing stuff, it's where it comes in. And basically being visible online, not relying on actual physical events to do that.
Now, that actually brings up a really good point. I mean, if we include all the social media platforms out there and, you know, every other vlogging and everything that's available to us, it can all get quite exhausting. And people think when they start thinking about social media marketing and digital marketing, where do I begin and how am I going to sustain this? So what's your take on all that?
Well, you've got to pick a platform or a couple of platforms that work best for you and your target audience. So where are they hanging out? Personally, I don't invest that much time in Instagram because it's being a service-based business, I feel it's not really where people are going. Well, in terms of writing anyway. For some people, if they do interior decorating or something where they've got a physical, they can take photos and it looks pretty and that's selling what they do, or photography, that's great. But I kind of started doing a bit and just putting quotes up, but I never really built much traction. But so for me, working B2B, LinkedIn is a no-brainer. And I do have a Facebook page too, and I just put the same posts across both. So you've got to look at where your audience hangs out. If it's mostly Facebook, get on there. I mean, look, maybe Twitter is relevant for you, you know, for your group. For me, I don't really go there, but, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn is a pretty big one. Because people, I think they're getting a bit sick of Facebook from people I've spoken to.
It's like a monster right now. Everybody's on LinkedIn.
It's just, yeah, LinkedIn is really growing. People are more serious. You can really define what you do. Yep. And it's not just the lazy scrolling through looking at all these memes and videos like on Facebook. They're in a different mindset when they're on LinkedIn, like a more buying mindset. So even if you do something like personal training, and don't just think LinkedIn's for business-related services. Yeah. It's not, because, hey, as business owners, we still need to look after ourselves. So
that's right.
That's still relevant, you know.
You always find an angle, can't you?
Yeah, 100%. And like emails as well. Like I don't know about you, Darren, but I've had a lot more emails recently. I think all these dusty distribution lists have kind of been dusted off and people have been sending emails.
MailChimp is getting a run for its money.
Yeah, I think people are like, I've just got to remind people I'm around. Like, oh, let's get back onto that. But, you know, email, like for me, I send at least one email to my database every month. And I do that. I'm present on social media and usually I'm present at networking events too. And I've had a few people on different occasions tell me, oh, it's like you're everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what you want, because that keeps you top of mind.
Absolutely.
And look, I don't even like commit heaps of time to it. I just go, all right, today I'm working on that newsletter. Social media posts, I really should put more strategy behind it and planning. I actually don't. It's more like, hey, that idea just popped into my head. That sounds good. And there's a post.
Okay. And, so actually, that's a really good point. You know, on average, how much time would you spend on social media a day? Really on average?
Well, including the mindless Facebook scrolling, I try to limit it. It probably might be an hour in total, or 2 hours. I really try to limit it these days.
It's not unreasonable.
I don't know what the typical amount is these days. No, it's quite up.
Yeah,
I think even more so.
Yeah, more than that.
So I try to only go there when it's business related. I hang out in particular groups. Yeah. So I don't really go through scrolling mindless people's, photos, what they ate that day or whatever. It's more about the group. So I'm not like in a copywriting group, for example, a paid membership. And there's I have a meetup. So a meetup group. So there's a Facebook group for that. And so it's more the groups I'm in on Facebook. And they're really powerful for your business as well to get that happening. Because you get notifications for groups, but you don't for pages.
Gotcha.
So it's really good for that engagement level.
Sure. And I must say as well, LinkedIn groups are amazing.
I have to get into that more. LinkedIn, I have.
Really powerful as well. For the same
way. Yeah. I think it's underutilized. It's something I want to get into more, actually.
Definitely. Awesome. Now, you've got a list of some tips and tricks for us, haven't you?
I do. Like I said, as I was brainstorming, all these ideas just popped into my head and I'm like, oh, these are all brilliant. I can get started. All right. Okay. So the first one is make the most of your business cards. So if you have been going to networking events in the past and maybe you were a bit slack and didn't actually follow up with that person who you were going to, or you sent them one email and it's been 3 months or 6 months and you haven't spoken to them again, now's the time to reconnect with those people. Right. So it could be an email, it could be a phone call. Phone calls actually really powerful because not many people do it these days. Right. Or even on LinkedIn, if you haven't already connected with them on LinkedIn, do that and then do the voice message thing. Because that's also a bit more personal than just typing it.
Yep.
So then add them to your CRM if you've got one and just start that conversation and get that rolling. So that's really good. On that note, reach out to old and current clients. So go back to your old, anyone you haven't spoken to in a while, don't be embarrassed if it's been a while. I think now people are quite open to those check-in emails or calls. Once again, calling would be really good. But don't go in with a sales approach. Just like, oh, hey, just want to see how things are going with you in this crazy time. There's straight away an angle that everyone will just, you know. And you go, I'm just checking in. Can I connect? Even you can take it the collaboration approach. Can I connect you with anyone in my network or something?
Ooh, I like that. That's very clever.
I actually did one of these calls recently. I hadn't spoken to this guy since a Christmas networking event. And so that, had been 4 months or so. Yeah. And had this phone call. And I said, look, I'm actually not calling about businesses, trying to touch base with those I've kind of lost connections with. And he was the one saying, oh, no, that's okay. Actually, I do actually want to get some web copy done, blah, blah, blah. So you never know. But just don't have that mindset, because if you go in thinking you're going to get a sale, then you'll come across as salesy and pushy. It really should be like a courtesy call.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the next one is connect with like-minded business owners. So like we were saying with the groups, that's where you really look up groups, people who do the same thing you do. I was always a bit wary of other copywriters because, they're my competition. Yeah. But I joined this copywriting community a few years ago and I realized everyone has different niches, different specialties, different experience, different, all these types of things. So we can actually complement each other. Definitely. And for example, I'm not very good writing copy for tradies. I'm more conversational and it just doesn't match up. So I can then connect people who are better, suited to tradies. And then someone else goes, oh, it's a health and wellness client, I'm better with financial, can flick it on to me.
Awesome.
So you find people who do the same thing as you, whether it's a referral type thing, if one person's got too much work on, or you can come up with some sort of collaboration, like a webinar, a joint webinar, and you get across both of your audiences.
Yeah, collaboration is always fantastic. Everybody's worried about competing with the people that do the same thing, but if you can collaborate, you both win.
Yeah, you get across each other's target audiences, and they'll have different ideas, and it makes you stronger when you're combined. Another tip is to send cold emails. So if you have an ideal client that you'd like to work with, you've been following them on social media maybe, and you're like, oh, I'd love to work with them. Why not send them an email? So people get scared by cold emails because they're used to getting those template ones that have obviously been spammed across multiple people. But I actually heard this podcast recently that if you personalize it just that little bit, it'll be noticed, and you just never know where it'll go.
Very true.
So you just look at their website, their social media, in the email, just comment of something they said recently or you've noticed on the website, how you think you could help them, and propose a Zoom chat and discuss.
And one thing that struck me in the past as well is when a lot of people cold email me, there's a tendency to write 6,000 paragraphs. And as soon as I see an email that's that long, I just go delete. But if someone just writes a few lines, I'll read it. So it's even that in your approach is so important. Don't bombard people with 7 paragraphs. Just make it nice, short and sharp, get to the point, and you might get a better response.
Yeah, a couple of lines saying what you noticed or what you like about their company and how you think you can help. And then, so they don't, you're not spending heaps of time. And look, you do this for a few people. There's no guarantees that you'll get a response, but it's a numbers game type thing. Let's try. So another thing is to create your own virtual gatherings. Mm-hmm. So create your own Zoom sessions. With my meetup group, I made it into a virtual meetup. And so I still had my guest speaker like I would have normally in a group, and ran it very similar way, actually. Okay. Have the people introduce themselves, and I like to do like a fun fact about themselves, like what's your favorite restaurant, you know, next restaurant you'll be going to as soon as you can, kind of thing. And so it's not just about the elevator pitch. I don't actually like to use the words elevator pitch. It feels straight away, I get nervous thinking, yeah. Oh, am I going to remember my rehearsed lines? Yeah. So I just say, introduce yourself and your business, and then say this one fact. Yeah. And it's just another way, and you'll get people to interact in the chat box. And yeah, you just never know who you'll meet virtually. Like actually there's been a couple of people who've tuned into a couple of my virtual workshops. And in the most recent one, they're like, oh yeah, I remember you from the other one. Hey, how's it going? And yeah. So they've already started to bond and connect from seeing each other.
Yeah.
So they may then see each other in person in the future. Yeah. And they've already formed that initial connection.
Yeah. And actually on that, that's a really good point. I've noticed that people that do a lot of virtual networking, everybody seems to be in the same 3 or 4 degrees of separation. There's all these networking groups. And if you do enough of them, you start meeting them again and again and again.
It actually happened to me. Yeah.
This closed little networking, this virtual web world. Yeah. And before you know it, you start meeting all these new people, and you've only really gone 1 or 2 degrees of separation.
It's so true. I went to, there's a networking group based in the city, which I've been meaning to get to, but for me, it's a bit of a schlep because I live, you know, away from an hour commute to the city. And so they had a virtual event. I thought, this is the opportunity. I'm finally going to tune in. And then, yeah, straight away, there was like 5 people who I knew who were from my area. Meeting. And I'm like, oh, and there's one person I haven't seen in ages. And we lined up a Zoom chat the following week or so to catch up. So,
And that works really well, because when you know a few people in that meeting, they start to help you feel more comfortable. They start to present opportunities for you, present people to you. And it just makes things much smoother.
Yeah. Well, during that session, someone mentioned they did marketing. I thought, oh, I'll have a chat with him. Had a phone chat, and he goes, yeah, we do like websites, and we don't actually have a copywriter on board, so maybe I could refer my clients to you for the blogging.
Fantastic. There you go.
And you just ask. That's one of my suggestions. Another one is to do Facebook Lives.
Oh, yeah.
That scares a lot of people, but it's great for the algorithm and Facebook because it loves that. And it's obviously you're showing your face, not just photos of everything else around you, reminding people what you look like and your mannerisms. And so they're connecting with you and following you and feel like they get to know you. So when they see you in person, or if you then start promoting a course or something, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen them. I like them. And
And that's a real differentiator these days. Everybody wants to know who they're dealing with. They want to know the human behind the brand.
Yes, that's one of my big things I push, especially like, for example, websites. I say you've got to have an about page because people want to see the person behind the brand.
Definitely.
And I get a bit annoyed actually if I go to the about page and it's just more about the company. Definitely. Like, no, tell me about the person's journey. Who actually started this? What do they do? Why do they do it?
Yeah, and I'll take it one step further. You might even cover this in your points, but I would say everybody's got to have a video on their about page.
Even on their
website. They have to have themselves talking, interacting, so people can understand who they're dealing with, as opposed to just a very static form of information.
Yes. And actually, I have a video of myself I've been meaning to upload to my website, but I just haven't got around to yet. But yes, I agree 100%. So another one would be, just kind of follow up to the virtual networking thing, is look out for those virtual interaction opportunities. So if you're in a Facebook group, and they're going to do a Zoom chat, or they're running something where you can show your face and engage with other people, get involved with it. A lot of the time they are free at the moment, and it's just, you never know who you're going to virtually bump into. So, so apart from creating your own, just pop into any others that you see. Also, I like to say, put your hand up for guest blogging and guest podcasting opportunities, I am today, because you're getting yourself in front of a new audience, and it's your chance to share more about who you are, and you just never know what kind of opportunities it could open up.
Definitely. And I think you have your own podcast, don't you?
Yeah. So my podcast, Marketing Me, it's a marketing podcast aimed at health and wellness business owners who want to grow their business but maintain their own health and wellness at the same time. From my own experience, I've met many people who are like, they're stressed and anxious and unwell. I'm like, but you're looking after everyone else's health. And what about your own? So yeah, my podcast, it only launched end of January, so it's still fairly new. But it's a mixture of soul episodes where I give marketing tips, and also have guests, some marketing or business related experts, and others that are health and wellness businesses that just kind of share how they do things.
Awesome.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And I really say that podcasting is this incredible marketing hack that a lot of people don't really understand the power of podcasting until you start doing it. You meet so many great people, you get to cross-fertilize audiences, it's very lead generational, you get to establish yourself as a brand leader, you get to potentially move into speaking opportunities. I mean, podcasting can give you so many things. So if anybody out there wants to start a podcast, it's a really, really great way.
Yes, I recommend it. A recent episode I did was how to start a podcast, because I was procrastinating about the whole thing for about 12 months before I actually started doing anything. So it's very easy to be overwhelmed going, oh, I have no idea, where do I start? So personally, I did an online podcasting course just so I built up enough confidence. And I knew a couple of people who ran them and picked their brains a little bit. And then I joined the Australian Podcasters Collaborative Facebook group, which really helped me as well.
Fantastic. Awesome.
So another one is to search for new business Facebook groups. Plenty out there. I mean, there's things like the like-minded bitches drinking wine that a lot of women hang out, business women hang out in, for example. So where you can, swap ideas. And if you're visible and commenting a lot, people see your name. And then, if other people in that group recommend you when people ask for particular industries and stuff, that's all very helpful in being visible. If you have advice to share, then, once again, your name keeps popping up. And all of this is really effective for building your brand and people getting to know you.
Awesome.
So onto the LinkedIn things. Improve your LinkedIn profile is definitely important right now. So it's basically an opportunity to, like, in the profile section, you can highlight what you do. And it's very important to do it on the very first couple of lines before it cuts off, to summarize what you do and put your contact details. And then you can flow into more about what you do, who your target audience is, and all that kind of thing there. So I've seen some that are just like three lines, and it's just not optimized enough. Really, this is your opportunity. If you send the connection request, it's the first thing they see.
I couldn't agree with you. LinkedIn is such a powerful force, and your LinkedIn profile is like your second website, or sometimes it's your website when you don't have one. So LinkedIn is so powerful, and you've got to do it properly.
Yeah. So get onto that now if you haven't already. And make sure your key offerings are visible up front as well, so there's no confusion about what you offer. And be conversational. Don't write it like an essay. And make sure it's easy to read, dot points, and don't put massive paragraphs. And do like the call to actions at the end as well. Like, connect with me. Here's my email. Here's my podcast. Here's my download my ebook here, that type of thing. That's all really powerful too. Another thing is to build your LinkedIn credibility, and that's through getting recommendations. So reach out to people and ask them to do one for you. I know some people are nervous about asking, but hey, you ask. The worst that happens, they say no or just don't respond.
Absolutely.
But you ask.
Don't ask, you don't get.
That's it. Or you could even, kind of a way around it, is that you start recommending other people. Yep. And then they'll kind of naturally feel like they need to reciprocate and do it as well.
Very clever.
So that's another little tip there. we kind of mentioned before the LinkedIn groups. If you can either join a LinkedIn group or create one and encourage people to get in there and start. And these can be like-minded business owners like you for collaboration opportunities.
Perfect.
Or you could invite your target audience from your list. And that's where you can kind of just give them lots of really great content. That's a one-stop shop, that's where they can go.
Awesome.
That's something I plan to do. Haven't quite got there yet, but that's the plan. And, you know, on LinkedIn, you can obviously find new leads. So you can reach out, and whether it's you go, you know, via the My Network tab, and you go in and you can see people been LinkedIn's recommending to you, and you can send out connection requests. It is really good if you can do a personalized message just to say, hey, look, someone did it to me recently, and they're like, oh, I looked through your profile and honestly, I'm impressed. And whether he said that to everyone, I don't know, but I felt loved. So just
love it. Bit of flattery will get you everywhere.
Bit of flattery, and you're more likely to get that connection request approved. Right. And then yeah, if they then approve it, respond with like, yeah, a voice message. Yeah. And that's really powerful once again, because not everyone uses that tool. It will spark a bit of interest and go, oh, what's this popped up? Oh, yeah. You get to hear their voice and personality, and it just helps with that bonding.
I love that. I keep forgetting to use it. And every now and again, someone sends me a voice message and then I respond with a voice message. But it's such a great function, but I just keep forgetting to use it. I'm so used to
typing. It depends on if I've got, because you only really do it on your phone. So if I'm looking at LinkedIn on my computer, then I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'll just respond now. Other times I do try to use that voicing. And, you know, use the hashtags as well in your LinkedIn posts, because then people can follow that hashtag, and you can also do searches based on hashtags and then connect with people who are in that industry that you want to follow, or in your local community or whatever it may be. Again, the last point, we've just got some sub points, is about sharing a variety of posts. And this is a LinkedIn, Facebook as well, to capture the interest. So there's like the long form storytelling. So those types of posts where you tell, it could be about you and your story. It could be about a client you recently helped, or your recent thoughts or your opinion on something. That can be a bit longer, with some sort of question at the end to encourage the engagement. Mm-hmm. And obviously just want to pause and say, comment on other people's LinkedIn posts as well, because that's obviously going to help your visibility as well. And more people are likely to connect with you if they like what you have to say.
Absolutely.
Another form would be video, so like the Facebook Lives. Not everyone has access to LinkedIn Live yet, but that will be rolling out soon. So do videos on LinkedIn, and that can be anything from, this is what I got up to today, or this is a tour of my office, or anything really. And it just, once
video
again,
video is the new frontier. Everybody's eyeballs are on video.
Yeah. And don't worry, like caption or no caption, if you're freaked out by captioning and don't know how to do it, it's better to do a video without than not do a video at all. So
actually, here's a great question. I heard the other day that on LinkedIn in particular, captions don't perform as well as videos without captions. Is that right?
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
That's something to check. I've heard that the other day.
Oh, is that LinkedIn in particular?
Or? I think so. Very interesting.
Yep, there you go. So another kind of post you can do is like asking for advice, because people love to give their opinion. You can just say, I've been thinking about this, or I had this thought. What are your thoughts on this? And just let people, and if you get extra points if it's really controversial. So I said something, I posted something about International Women's Day, and how I'm like, well, I'm all about equality. I don't call myself a feminist. And then I got slammed. But it was very interesting, interesting read. it's going to be daring sometimes to put those things out there. Social proof. So yeah, don't be afraid to share the testimonials and the great things people have said about you. Yeah. It then sells your products and services without you having to do it. So putting it up in Canva or just copy and paste it if it's on Google reviews or something. And just write your comments of how you feel about that review, or how that working relationship was, or something like that.
Perfect.
And finally, you can do call to action posts. So I'm finally giving you a chance to sell yourself here. But it's okay if you do that among all the rest of it.
Yes.
So people are a lot more forgiving of those occasional sales posts if you've given a lot of other free value and engaging without suddenly shoving your services in their face. You can obviously talk about things subtly, like the reviews will say, Leanne is an awesome copywriter. Well, it says what I do, but I'm not going on and on like, yeah, you need a copywriter? You need a copywriter? Yeah. So the occasional posts where you say, hey, like I put one up, how can I help you right now? I'm glad you asked. Here's some of the things I can do for you. Feel free to reach out.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty, that's my list of tips.
I know that is an extensive list of tips. That is, I've never seen a list as super extensive as that. So
well done. Just as I started thinking one thing, I thought of another thing. And I'm like, it's actually quite a lot you can do online. And this stuff obviously continue once you can do the face-to-face workshops and networking events as well. But in the meantime, you've got plenty to do to put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and that's actually brings up a really good question. Do you think that even after this period starts to, you know, starts to normalize, people should still do this stuff as much as they did before? Absolutely.
Yep. It's
another angle. It's another platform to play on. Don't just forget about your virtual networking. Continue that as well as your face-to-face networking.
Yeah, definitely. The face-to-face, it's very different actually seeing people in person and communicating with them. And then like from the networking events I go to, you know, you might see a familiar face, start chatting with them. Someone you don't know but knows them starts chatting, and then you start talking to them, and then getting some really warm leads. But that's where it all starts all over again. Don't click the business card and then don't do anything with it. Keep that relationship going online until you can see them physically again.
Well done. And once again, that's an incredible list. And I'm going to add one more little thing. I'm not sure if you actually mentioned, but something that's really useful that I've just discovered is using your email signature. Because a lot of people forget that they can customize their email signature and put links to different things, or put little promotional offers or free offers or whatever. And that gets across, you know, so many people, because you're emailing people all day long and it's getting forwarded around. So that's another little marketing hack that a lot of people forgot about.
Yes, and that's very true. Like for mine, I do have about listen to my Marketing Made podcast, and book a free discovery call. Like that's in all my emails, and you just never know. Yeah, we'll come from
it. Absolutely. Now, Leanne, you've got a little course coming up, so I thought I'd give you the opportunity to tell everybody about the course that you're putting together and where they can find you.
Yeah, so the course, it's all booked up at the moment, unfortunately, but I'm very open to anyone reaching out to me, because I'm hoping to do more of these courses in the near future. This course coming up is about building your digital visibility, just like what I talked about, and I'm covering all different tips from blogging and fixing up your website and improving your LinkedIn, Google My Business, emails, all that kind of stuff. Awesome. But I also do like blogging workshops, like a business blogging strategy session, where we can really get a better understanding of what blogging is and mapping out a content plan for your blog and all that kind of stuff. So you're very welcome to reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one there. My website is WRITE, timemarketing.com.au. Right. And you'll see links there to book that free 30-minute discovery call. We can just chat through something you've been worrying about in terms of your content marketing. And if I can't help you, I've got great connections who could. And we can kind of work out whether doing some sort of course with me would work, or doing one-on-one coaching sessions. So they're the best ways to reach out to me.
Well done. Well, Leanne, that is sensational. You've given us so much incredible content in this podcast. And I think everybody that's really wanting to take their virtual networking and their virtual skills to the next level will get a lot out of this. And I always like to ask the guest at the end of the show, give us a couple of tips that people can implement straight away. You've just given us about 16 or 17. Maybe a philosophy or some mindset tip that you can help, that helps people implement this stuff straight away.
Well, we kind of said it before, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. It's pretty much part of what I'm all about, to be honest, because I'm constantly challenging myself. Like this opportunity to run the course, for example, I got an email from the local council about workshops. I sent an email going, are you looking for speakers for next year? She said yes, and it turned into all of this. Wow. And there's been plenty of opportunities where I've just picked up the phone and asked. And it's just so powerful. Like, challenge yourself to do it. Worst case scenario, you get the answer no.
Yeah.
But you just never, like where I am right now would have been completely different if I hadn't sent that one email 6 months ago to say, are you interested?
Wow, fantastic. So, great advice. If you don't ask, you don't get. So just ask. You never know what happens. You might be surprised.
Exactly.
Well done. Well, Leanne, thank you so much for being on the show. That was superb. And I hope everything goes really well for you as well. And for all the audience out there, thank you once again for tuning in to the Suspended Animation Podcast. And we'll see you very, very soon for our next episode tomorrow. So bye for now.